On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, fallout from the Kane injury as we find out who gets called up and just how long Evander Kane will be out. We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we have found out how long Evander Kane will be out for the Oilers. So we will talk about the two players who have been called up in his absence. We will also go over the potential lines, what the lines may look like without Kane and with the two call-ups coming in. We will wrap up today's show with a quick look at the prospect report for all the Edmonton Oilers prospects in the CHL. Is there some pretty exciting news and a couple of fun games for a couple of players for the Edmonton Oilers prospects there. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, let's start with the Evander Kane news as it was announced today that Evander Kane will miss 3 to 4 months due to that cut on the wrist. They haven't specified what exactly the injury is, and I don't assume A, either they will, or B, that they will get too extensive with it. It's just really not something that people want to hear, but it also could be very good for awareness of what can happen if you're not safe around skates. But it is an unfortunate injury for Kane. He did send out a press release or a notes release really on Twitter today. By the way, how fun was Twitter today? But this does mean that, that he will be out 3 to 4 months and the Edmonton Oilers will be without a top six forward for a little while. But this also means that two players have been called up from Bakersfield, one of them being Klim Kostin, who the Edmonton Oilers acquired for Dmitry Samarukov at the start of the season. Now, yesterday I said I'd be surprised if Samarukov got called up too. If it was going to be Klim Kostin, I was going to be surprised if he was the player getting called up, and I was wrong. He got the call up. He has been playing on the first line for Bakersfield down there. He was playing with Brad Malone, the captain for the Bakersfield Condors, and Xavier Bourgault, who's off to a pretty solid start so far in 9 games for the Condors. 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points for him there. For Kostin, though, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points for him. 15 penalty minutes is I believe he got a fighting major on it. It was on Hockey Fight, so he must have. But he did jump Noah Juleson from the Abbotsford Canucks or the Vancouver Canucks affiliate after Noah Juleson absolutely leveled Seth Griffith. He didn't have the puck. It should have been a penalty. I believe it was called a penalty on the ice. But Klim Kostin took zero exception on it as he jumped in there, immediately dropped the gloves, caught Noah Juleson a couple of times with some rights and some lefts. And you know what? That's exactly what the Edmonton Oilers need. They need some balls. They need some gall. They need something in that lineup, especially in that bottom six. I mean, your bottom six basically consists of a first-year rookie who's getting zero time, and that's Dylan Holloway, which we will talk about a little later on today. Derek Ryan, who is 5'10". Devin Shore, who's not very physical at all. He kills penalties. That's why he's there. Warren Fogel, who tries to be physical, but we all know how that goes. Did have 4 hits last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, so credit to him there, but still not very physical. Yes, Puljujärvi, who's and Ryan McLeod. So the Edmonton Oilers need some physicality, and they're going to get it from Klim Kostin. If you haven't seen it yet, Once the Edmonton Oilers initially traded for Klim Kostin, I was pretty excited because I watched Klim Kostin in his draft year. He was one of my favorite prospects, maybe not necessarily for a projection into the NHL, but just one of my favorite players to watch. He always plays with an edge. You know, when Kostin is out there, it's tough to miss him. I believe he's slated at 6'5" or something like that. He is a big boy, but he also is a really solid skater. He's not Connor McDavid. He's not Leon Draisaitl. But he can skate. He has long strides. He gets through the neutral zone very well. And man, is it fun to watch him. He gets physical. And his goal, one of his goals so far this season against the Henderson Silver Knights, the Golden Knights affiliate, showed exactly that. The powerful stride for him to get past the defenseman, cut that angle through, and just slip it through the wickets of, I believe it was Laurent Brossoit in net for the Silver Knights there. So a guy who brings a lot of factors to the Edmonton Oilers that they didn't necessarily have before, and it could be quite exciting. Colin Chalk said on Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, saying that he had a little bit of a tough weekend last weekend, but in his words, he said, there's something there. There's something there in that player. Klim Kostin is put as 6'3", 215 pounds on the Edmonton Oilers official website. We all know those are skewed some ways or another here on Elite Prospects. They have him at 6'4", 212. So around the 6'3", 6'4", he's a big boy, and he's over 210 pounds, somewhere between 210 to big boy who can skate as well. So that's the type of player the Edmonton Oilers need. Excited to see him get in the lineup here, hopefully get into the lineup, and we'll talk about what the lines may look like for the Oilers in just a little bit here. But the other player getting the call up for the Edmonton Oilers as well, Matthias Janmark, he's played pretty decent, honestly, since being sent down to Bakersfield. Had some visa issues, so he wasn't able to play right at the start of the season. That's okay. In four games so far for Janmark down in the AHL, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points for him. He's a +3 as well for the Condors. So I mean, you know what you're going to get basically out of Matthias Janmark. He's a bottom six guy. He is going to be playing on that penalty kill, which the Edmonton Oilers certainly need. He was playing on that second line down in Baco along with Noah Philp and James Hamblin. So getting a lot of time, getting acclimated again, getting maybe not acclimated, but got sent down after the training camp, couldn't play immediately, got his legs under him, and now he's getting a shot up with the Oilers again. A guy that Ken Holland is familiar with. He did draft him and honestly looked pretty solid throughout the training camp exhibition games. He just really got caught up in the cap crunch, and now that Evander Kane is on the LTIR, allows him to be called up here. As mentioned, he's a career penalty killer, so he will help that Edmonton Oilers team there, hopefully. But as well, last year with the Vegas Golden Knights in 67 games, 9 goals, 16 assists, 25 points. And so hopefully some secondary scoring coming from for the Edmonton Oilers as well. You never know with the Oilers, as Warren Fogle just scored his first goal in 31 games, but hey, you never know. We are going to take a look at the lines for the Edmonton Oilers, what they could look like. The Edmonton Oilers didn't skate today, so there was no potential lines for the Oilers. So that means, well, speculation time, baby. No, I'm just kidding. But let's take a quick prediction or a couple looks at what the Edmonton Oilers lines could look like in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started using AG1 because honestly, I have no time to take thousands of those little pills to make you feel better every day. I needed to utilize my gut health as well. I got a big gut. And to be honest with you, it's just easier putting one scoop of AG1 in water every day and getting all the everything that I need, essentially, to live a solid day, a solid life. So what is this AG1? AG1 is, with one scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging, all of the things. All of the things. That's all the things you get with AG1. Plus, it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it's all good for you. Plus, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, all while still tasting good. I don't understand how they do it. Plus, it all costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew addiction. Yes, I'm looking at myself here, that's for sure. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Alrighty, as I grab my notes for the potential lines for the Edmonton Oilers heading into the game against the Carolina Hurricanes, as there's going to be some changes. Not so much on the back end, so we won't really talk about the back end. We're going to talk about the forwards. Evander Kane is out for 3 to 4 months. The Oilers bring up Klim Kostin and Matthias Janmark. Could we see Tyler Benson down the road? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But until then, the Edmonton Oilers have an open spot in their top six, first of all. And B, that means they have a couple spots open in their bottom six. So, I have one lineup that I think the Oilers will probably go with. One lineup that a friend of mine who is in the hockey industry did suggest as a possibility, maybe not necessarily a possibility, but what he would do, and I think it was a really good idea, and one that I would do. And we'll end off with the one that I would do. We'll do the friend of mine second, but I'll start off with what I think will be probably the lineup for the Oilers. Zach Hyman, I think, will start off with Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi. I think Jesse Puljujärvi and Connor McDavid really played well last night in Tampa Bay. Really a game that Jesse Puljujärvi needed. It was his best game so far of the season, despite not getting on the score sheet. He was all over the ice. He was getting to the right lanes, getting to the net, getting a lot of shots. In the first period, he had about 4 of the Oilers' first 6 shots on goal. Matter of time before you get rewarded for games like that. Plus, Zach Hyman, the most mature forward for the Oilers, so you can't go wrong with that. Second line of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, and Kyler Yamamoto. The line which at times were the best line in hockey a couple of seasons ago when they were really rolling. So hopefully the Edmonton Oilers can get that line back into form. Kyler Yamamoto needs something going here for him. Had played 15 minutes last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, so starting to pick it up here, and the Edmonton Oilers will need him to pick it up for Evander Kane's absence. Now here's where a little bit of the jiggling happens, a little bit, not really, as I have Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Derek Ryan on the third line. That's kind of how the Oilers sometimes put those guys out there together. Fogle played fantastic against Tampa. Hopefully he can not necessarily keep that up, because four hits, a goal, it genuinely was probably the best Oiler last night. He won't be able to keep that up all the time. But as long as he can be consistent, that is what the Oilers need from him over the next couple of weeks and months here. So if he can keep it going, I think that line would be pretty impressive, to be honest with you. And then the fourth line of, I put a slash here because I'm not sure the Oilers' intentions with Klim Kostin, but I put Klim Kostin slash Devin Shore. I'm sure the Oilers will go 11-7 at times now too, especially after they won against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But if they do go 12-6, I think Kostin or Shore will be kind of flip-flopping in between, depending on A, who they're playing, B, what type of game they want to play, and C, who's playing better. They'll be playing with Dylan Holloway and Matthias Janmark. I kind of like the Holloway-Janmark feel as well. Youth with the experience. Plus, if you put in Kostin, that's a really exciting line. A line that can really skate. A line that'll just go in there in the hard-nosed areas and really go out there and play. I could get behind it. I could really get behind that. That's where I think the Edmonton Oilers might go. Now, a friend of mine, Brendan Clack, if you follow him on Twitter, I believe it's at NHL Update. If it's not, I'm sorry, Brendan, that is horribly wrong. I apologize. But he mentioned today that he would do something a little interesting, and I kind of dig it. He mentioned similar first line, but this is where the tweak happens. And this is where I'm really interested to see how the Edmonton Oilers would respond. He put Zach Hyman and Connor McDavid with Dylan Holloway. Okay, let the horse run loose a little bit. Guy played 5 minutes against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You don't think there's something going on for him? You don't think he wants to go a little hard for the next couple of games? Who better than to put him with than Connor McDavid and, the most mature player on the Edmonton Oilers and Zach Hyman? I'm behind it. Another line that can just skate the wheels off of the other team. A hard guy to take off the puck in, well, Connor McDavid, but Zach Hyman as well. You dump that puck in and Dylan Holloway will be all over it in the corner. All he has to do is give it to Connor McDavid and then get open, and that's a pretty simple thing for him. I'm behind it. Then you dump back Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with Leon Draisaitl as well here, and that was where he kind of ended his elaboration there. So the big thing being Holloway on that first line, and so the rest of this is more what I filled out. But it kind of makes sense because I go Kyler Yamamoto on that line with Nugent-Hopkins and Draisaitl and drop Puljujärvi down to that third line with McLeod and Fogle, a line that has had a lot of success so far this year, just really making the opposition tired, really pinning them in their own end, and really doing a job for the Edmonton Oilers when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aren't on the ice. And that is why I dropped Puljujärvi out of the top six and kept Kyler Yamamoto in that second line place, because they do have that history together. And as well, I just think it would make that's a fun line. And then basically a very similar third or fourth line as well with Klim Kostin slash Devin Shore. I think he's not a big fan of Klim Kostin, if I'm not mistaken. So Devin Shore would probably be that guy over Kostin. And then Derek Ryan and Matthias Janmark. That would just be straight up a line that does all the defensive things well. That would also be a very fun line to watch, especially defensively. I'm really looking forward, to be honest with you, to watch Matthias Janmark and what he can do for the Edmonton Oilers. I think he has something that the Edmonton Oilers are lacking right now, and that is defensive organization. And as somebody commented on our YouTube yesterday, that the Edmonton Oilers, yes, did have a very good defensive game yesterday, but there are things that need to be touched up on, especially in that last minute. They were scrambling, left multiple players open, like Kucherov and Point, and Stamkos. Those are guys you don't want to leave open, especially late in a game, especially from that Ovechkin spot. But I think Janmark will really help the Oilers in that situation. And my projection, or what I would do if I was the Edmonton Oilers, I'm not, but a little bit of a different configuration here. I have Zach Hyman with Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with Leon Draisaitl and Kyler Yamamoto. And then here's my change. I would put Dylan Holloway on that third line with McLeod and Fogel, as I think that would be a really exciting line. Again, three guys, really. I really like the way Fogel skates. Three guys who can really skate, three guys who are... Well, Ryan McLeod has probably the best hockey sense of the three of them. Dylan Holloway has a great hockey IQ as well. And Warren Fogle just goes out there and tries. And that's all you can ask from Warren Fogle, is he gets stuff done sometimes. But I really think that would be a nice line, the three of them just go out there and have a chaotic good type energy. And then again, the fourth line of Klim Kostin, Derek Ryan, and Matthias Janmark, of course, Devin Shore filing out there as well. How would you do the Edmonton Oilers lines? Those are what I have. The first one, of course, being the what I think the Oilers will do. The second one being of suggestions from a friend of mine, Brennan Clack, and the third one being my own. So the first one, of course, Hyman, McDavid, Puljujärvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, and Kyler Yamamoto, Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, Derek Ryan, and Klim Kostin, Dylan Holloway, Matthias Janmark being the projected lineup, I guess could be the way to put it. Klax has Hyman, McDavid, Holloway, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, Fogle, McLeod, Puljujärvi, Kostin, well, probably Shore, Ryan, and Janmark. Again, that was just from a suggestion from Brendan Clack, not exactly gospel or anything like that. I just really liked that first line of Hyman, McDavid, Holloway. I want to hear what you guys think on that as well, because I think that's a real conversation starter there. And my projection would be Hyman, McDavid, Puljujärvi, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, Holloway, McLeod, Fogle, Kostin, Ryan, and Janmark. Again, let me know what you think about those lines. Let me know what you would do about the Edmonton Oilers lines going into this difficult stretch without Evander Kane. But we'll see how the Edmonton Oilers do. We will, because signing Evander Kane to that price point was a very team-friendly deal. Very much a gift for the Edmonton Oilers, and now they'll be without him for 3 to 4 months. But let's move on to the prospects, players who could eventually be in the top six or bottom six for the Edmonton Oilers. Actually, I think we have a defenseman in here, so we could have a top-end defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers as well, but they're currently playing in the CHL. Let's get into the CHL prospect report for the Edmonton Oilers in just a second. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Now for your second listen, make sure you check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. I almost said products, not podcasts. So excuse that little pause. It's podcast. You're listening to Locked On Podcast Network podcast, and you're listening to Locked On Oilers as the Edmonton Oilers have some pretty exciting prospects down in the CHL right now, and a couple of prospects who are very much excelling at their positions. Let's start off with the OHL's Player of the Week. Yeah, I said that right. The OHL's Player of the Week, Matvei Petrov, who this week in three games played since November 3rd, 4 goals, 2 assists, 6 points. Matvei Petrov, in his second full season here in North America, has really made a home in North Bay and really has been excelling. So far this year, 14 games played, 8 goals, 12 assists, 20 points for him. He is currently tied for 9th in points, or in the OHL in points there, and on an 11-game point streak. What else could you ask from him? That is exactly the type of player that the Edmonton Oilers need him to be. Keep scoring, keep gaining that confidence. Understand what it's like playing in North America, but keep gaining that confidence. That's when the Edmonton Oilers are going to get one hell of a player. His next game coming on Thursday against the Guelph Storm at 5 p.m. Here in Edmonton. It's not in Edmonton, but 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. There you go. I wrote Guelph. I don't know if you can see. You probably can't. I wrote Guelph in purple, and it's just throwing me off because I feel like it's Guelph University, and it's not. They are playing the Guelph Storm on Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Now, that is the one OHLer, or the one player who is not playing in the WHL for the Edmonton Oilers. So let's get into the three WHLers now. As Reid Schaefer, let's start off with the first round pick for the Edmonton Oilers in the most recent draft. And he's had a pretty interesting last three games. Since November 1st, he's played 3 games. He has 3 goals, no assists, 3 points. All 3 of those goals coming in one game. All 3 of those goals coming against Prince George. In not their last game, but their, actually, I think it was the game, oh yeah, since November 1st. So not bad. A little bit of a pointless streak, and that's been kind of the theme for Reid Schaefer so far this year. Little bit streaky, has been on and off so far this year, but that's okay. That's how it works. That is how it works. He has 30 penalty minutes on the season. One misconduct that came on November 1st. But then he had 6 minor penalties in his last game. He had 3 roughing penalties, which I'm sure one of those was probably a fight, and they didn't want to call it a fight, so they just went, ah, whatever, we'll call it a rough. 3 roughing penalties, 2 interference penalties, and 1 tripping penalty. That is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. 12 penalty minutes all in one game off of 6 minor penalties. Honestly, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. That's quite impressive for him. Well, not really, but need to clean up the act there, especially with, well, 12 of those 30 penalty minutes came in one game, and then he had a 10-minute misconduct in one of those games. I believe it was the game where he scored a hat trick. So, hey, have a night, kid. In just those 2 games, out of the 30, 22 of those happened in those 2 games. So maybe a little bit of a skew in the stats, but still quite an interesting bit of news there, or whatever pattern, I guess. His next game comes tonight, actually, against Kamloops at 8 p.m. So that'll be actually a very good game. I hear Kamloops is a pretty solid team. They have Logan Stankoven, obviously, one of the best young players in hockey right now. So that'll be worth the watch, as the Seattle Thunderbirds are also getting Luke Prokop back after they traded for him from the Edmonton Oil Kings. seemed like it was going to be kind of a paper transaction, but he was sent back from the AHL and is now playing for the Thunderbirds along with Reid Schaefer, Kevin Korchinski. They have a draft prospect as well this year. Completely skip my name here. Completely skip my mind. That's okay. But yeah, very exciting young team down in Seattle there. Again, they play tonight against the Kamloops Blazers. I'm just checking my notes, seeing if I can remember the name. I cannot. That is okay. We move. We move on to Jake Chiasson of the Brandon Wheat Kings. He's had a pretty decent season so far for the Wheat Kings. 16 games played for him down there. 6 goals, 6 assists, 12 points so far. Since November 2nd, though, he's been in a little bit of a slide. 3 games played, 1 goal, no assists, 1 point so far, again, since November 1st. Not too much to really chat about here. But speaking of Logan Stankoven, there's a very interesting story out on their friendship with Jake Chiasson and Logan Stankoven that you can read. I believe it was the WHL who put it out. It may not have been, so excuse me to the publisher of that, but a very good read either way. Surprised by Jake Chiasson and Logan Stankoven. Maybe he can try and bring Stankoven to the Oilers either way. The next Brandon game for them comes Friday against Red Deer in Red Deer at 1:30, which it must be like one of those like kids days where they bring all the kids out to the game. I don't know, but odd time, especially for I guess it's on Remembrance Day, so maybe that's why, but still, odd time. But remember, he is on or in Canada, so he will be playing in Edmonton on Friday, November 18th. So not this Friday, but next Friday, he will be playing against the Edmonton Oil Kings at 7 o'clock. Again, the reason why I didn't mention Reid Schaefer playing against the Oil Kings, they recently played against the Oil Kings, but that only happens. The Oil Kings are in Seattle, and then they don't play again until next year where Seattle comes to Edmonton. So they flip-flop every year because of the travel. They have to take a bus. So not very easy to travel to and from Edmonton to Seattle. But let's wrap it up with one of the more interesting prospects in the Edmonton Oilers organization, signed his ELC after training camp this year and has really flown through the rankings almost in the Edmonton Oilers organization, was, I believe, a 7th round pick off the top of my head here. And that's Max Wanner. 9 games played for him, and he had a big suspension as well after an ugly hit. 9 games played, 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points for him, as he had a career high 4 points just last night against the Edmonton Oil Kings. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. All of those coming before the end of the second period. His coach went on to say, because he was actually out of the lineup. He's only played 1 game since October 29th. He did play again last night against the Edmonton Oil Kings. And as his coach said, like, he is an important part of this Moose Jaw Warriors team. He is big. He is physical. He can skate. Obviously, he can produce as well. So a very interesting player to have in the organization. His next game comes tomorrow against Medicine Hat in Medicine Hat. That is at 7 o'clock. He will also play in Edmonton, but not until the new year. January 10th, Moose Jaw is in town against the Edmonton Oil Kings. That'll be a fun one to watch. If he is still on the Moose Jaw Warriors at that time, too. You need to remember that around that time is the trade deadline for the CHL in general. And you normally see some of those bigger players get moved to try and make it to the Memorial Cup, get more playing time, play for good teams. You saw that with the Edmonton Oil Kings last year with Caden Gooley, Justin Sortif. They got Luke Prokop as well, and you saw them take their run to the Memorial Cup, almost to the Memorial Cup. They did go to the tournament, but they didn't win. They did win the WHL, though, so Couple of fun players to watch there. As mentioned, Matvei Petrov, OHL's Player of the Week. Reid Schaefer with a hat trick since the start of November. Jake Chiasson with a goal already this month. And Maximus Wanner, 4 points against the Edmonton Oil Kings. Let's wrap it up there as our next episode will come tomorrow after. Actually, no, it won't come after. It'll come before the game against the Carolina Hurricanes, as once again, the Hurricanes are in, or the Oilers are in Carolina as they face off against the Hurricanes at 5 o'clock Mountain. Another early game for the Oilers, but hey, at least we're done early. Let's call it there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Locked On Oilers and for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. For your next listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe. The sun is going down earlier every day. It sucks. Either way, get your sunlight as you can, even though it may be minus 25 or whatever it is. Ugh. Let's have a wonderful day. Stay safe, everybody, and play La Bamba, baby. By the way, I was thinking of Grayson Sochin. He's the player from the Seattle Thunderbirds to watch for. Bye, everybody.